Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, completing 100 marathons despite a devastating injury.
I got hit by a car on the way to the race, and I flew on the hood and shattered the windshield with my body and bounced off the hood and landed in front of the car. And I mean, I just think that moment until today, I think of how my life could have been so much different. And it was probably a month or two after the accident. I felt like there was a reason why I survived. And that's when I decided I wanted to get back to running for what it had given to me.
A 69-year-old runner gets back into Boston.
This was my 36th marathon. And for any of your listening audience, you don't have to start running marathons at an early age. I never ran my first marathon until I was 51.
And the magnificent support of New Yorkers.
I hit a spot in the race where, you know, I actually started to walk, just wasn't feeling the greatest, had to shake it off. And these two young guys who were pretty close to me start yelling, "You ran, Big Sir. This is nothing like that. Get going." And I did. It was like, absolutely. So the crowd is so engaged with you. And that really is truly something I haven't experienced before.
On this edition of iRun Radio, we'll meet Denise Soriol, who recently completed her 100th marathon. We'll talk to former MP Hec Cloutier, who recently qualified for Boston again with a marathon run in Hamilton. And a runner in New York gets incredible crowd support and a surprise at the finish line. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, who's with us every week, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there, my friend.
How's your week been?
Really inspiring, super terrific.
I know one of the great things about what you do and what I do, although you spend more time in it than I do, is that we get to meet these people with great stories, right? We get to talk to really inspiring people who are doing amazing things. And I know you're immersed in that week in and week out as you put together the next issue of iRun or put together something for our website at irun.ca. So I know you feed off that, right?
Well, I mean, it's just such a blast because, you know, you tend to view things from your own vantage point, obviously, which is always like, you know, the next race or the next, you know, you look very small picture. And by being able to step into other worlds, I'm able to see like, wow, there's a whole universe of possibilities out there. And I had the great good fortune of earlier this week doing a shoot for our new issue, like our holiday issue. And we featured masters athletes. And I tell you, we do this kind of stuff. You know, we feature a fashion spread and feature runners and feature different people all of the time. But these people, you couldn't have got, okay, you know, there was a man named Earl Fee, and he is 89 years old, and he has more records, more world records than, you know, just about anybody you'd like to meet. And he couldn't have been happier or nicer or more generous with his time. Or I was like, you know, put on this camouflage Nike suit that was obviously designed for a 14-year-old, and he just had, you know, he just loved it. He loved everything. It is that spirit of generosity. And he's going to be 90 in March, and he's going to Australia to compete in the World Masters, and he's, you know, he's angling for more world records. And I think somehow I love the connection between a happy human being is a, you know, a well-performing human being. And it's just a great lesson learned.
Yeah. Wow. So 89 years old, and he's a runner, and he's competing internationally.
Yeah, and he does hurdles as well. I mean, this
hurdles.
Guy is
wow.
The nicest guy. And he couldn't have been nicer, sweeter, you know, more gentle, and he, you know, and more interesting. Everything he said is like a race to write down. You know, if you want to feel confident, act confident. You want to feel energetic, act energetic. You know, you can control these things, and you can take ownership of them. And he feels, you know, nerves like anyone else, but doing it all of these years and literally doing it for 81 years, you know, he's learned how to control his emotions and just enjoy the ride.
Very cool. And I'm glad to see you focusing on masters athletes. I think some people are doing their best running in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s. Some people don't even take up running until they're 40 or 50. We're actually going to talk to a guy on the show today, Hec Cloutier, who's a former member of parliament. And I can't remember what he told me. We'll find out in the interview. But he didn't run his first marathon until his 40s or 50s. I'm pretty sure of that. And now he's run a bunch and he's gotten into Boston again. So there's so many great stories like that. And I run, you know, it's been more than 10 years now. We've always been about that, right? It's not always about the elite athlete. It's not always about the person at the front of the pack or who's going to the Olympics. It's about the people who discover running and sometimes later in life and they're not, you know, they don't have the body type of a Kenyan athlete. But they love it and they're doing crazy, extraordinary things they never thought possible until they took it up.
And for anybody, you know, anybody listening, anybody of us or anything like that, it's sort of like, you know, here I am 44 years old thinking that like I just ran New York, you know, and maybe my running is winding down, you know, maybe I won't do any marathons, but it's like, it's just so silly. Who knows what you're going to do at 65, at 85, you know, like it just, you know, it's just, it's inspiring to think and it makes me very hopeful and hopefully some of that will transpire to other people listening and who see these pictures and who read the stories.
Yeah, and I know you've got some pictures on Facebook already from the photo shoot.
Yeah.
So people can check it out.
If you've never seen a 65-year-old woman sprint, go to our Facebook page and you can see her. It's unbelievable. And I had to tell her, I kept telling her, just wait, let me set up the camera. She just kept sprinting back and forth. I was like, okay, you know, she had her mind made up. She was ready to sprint and that's it, camera or no camera. She just was ready. Loves it.
Yeah, you know, well, you mentioned New York. You did New York, and we're going to have another story from New York. A very cool story about somebody whose husband greeted her at the finish line of her race in New York City through a little special connection that they had with the New York Police Department. So kind of a cool story there. And she's also going to share just how much first responders are celebrated at the New York City Marathon. That's something that that lots of events really should do, celebrating the people who are out there protecting us and looking after us and responding to crises in our community every day. So some really great stuff coming up on the show today. Ben, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, my friend.
And continue to be inspired by all the people you meet.
Thank you, sir.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, a runner reaches the incredible milestone of 100 marathons. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Denise Soriel has a remarkable story. Despite a devastating injury she suffered in 2009 when she was hit by a car while running, she has now completed 100 marathons. Denise is a coach and author, and she joins us from Chicago. Denise, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
And congratulations on your 100th marathon, which was in Chicago, right?
Yes, I can't even believe it. The first one I said never again.
We all said that after the first one, I think. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what it was like crossing the finish line knowing you had now completed 100 marathons.
It actually kind of hit me at 98 and 99 that I was coming up on my 100th marathon, and I even got emotional in those races, let alone in the 100th that I ran at Chicago. There's no way you can't reflect. Well, I just reflected on what marathoning and running has given to me since I crossed the first marathon finish line back in 1994. I never thought I could do one. I never thought I could get into Boston. It's been my my mode of transportation for seeing the world. I ran in high school in track and cross country, and I wasn't very good. And after my third or fourth marathon, I hooked up with a coach in a running group, and he got me crazy fast. I never thought that was possible. It was just, my 100th marathon was even more special because I shared it with, I had about 190 runners that I was coaching. So they were out on the course. So I ran with a megaphone and I started in the back with a bunch of my runners. And I actually ran with my client, Max. I started with him. He's 82 years young, and he was doing his second marathon. I stayed with him for about 5 miles, and then I just ran along and hit his foot, groupie with them. That's what I call a selfie when there's more than one person in the picture. But it was there's no way I would have wanted to celebrate that day. And then probably the last 4 or 5 miles, I couldn't find any more of my runners. So I got emotional. I really got emotional because what a gift to even do one and to be, yeah. And I knew my 100th was going to be at Chicago because that's where my first was. And it was the 24th Chicago for me too. So there's a special place in my heart and my feet for Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's amazing. And of course, since then, you've already done more, right? You did New York. So
yes, I just ran New York on Sunday.
Yeah, and how was that? So was that number 101, or were there others too?
No, so that was my 101st, and it was another beautiful experience because I ran it with a first-timer.
Ah, nice. And
yeah, so to be along on someone else's journey, to when they do something they didn't think they can do, it's such a gift. And it's also a high. It's that other runner's high.
Yeah. So what does running mean to you? I think you've touched already, but why is it so important to you? Why have you done all these marathons?
Well, it all kind of started back in fourth grade when running found me. I still don't have the eye-hand-ball coordination for other sports, but ever since I was little, running has just always been there for me. I'd always feel better after a run, even, I shouldn't even say past tense, but ever since the fourth grade girl met running, it makes me feel better. If I'm struggling with something, whether it was in my job or with my personal life, I go for a run and I get clarity, I get direction. It's introduced me to so many people. It's like brushing my teeth. It's another appendage of my body. It's just my best friend.
Yeah, it's a big part of
and
your
I
life, obviously.
With the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've had some big challenges as well, though. I understand you were involved in a major accident, and because of that, you had to recover from serious injuries. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I mentioned that I've been running since I was little. I ran through high school and college. I wasn't very good. And then after my third or fourth marathon, I started working with a coach, and he got me crazy fast. And I started hanging on, or I started focusing so much on the statistics of my running and racing and the destination that I lost sight of what that fourth grade girl found in running. And what happened was August 16, 2009, I was running to Central Park to do the New York City Half Marathon. And I was, of course, seeking a PR. I was running like 60 to 70 miles at the time. And gratefully, it ended up being my rebirth day, but I got hit by a car on the way to the race. And I flew on the hood and shattered the windshield with my body and bounced off the hood and landed in front of the car. And I mean, I just think that moment until today, I think of how my life could have been so much different. And it was probably a month or two after the accident. I felt like there was a reason why I survived. And that's when I decided I wanted to give back to running for what it had given to me. I mean, I finally found the confidence I'd been searching for when I crossed that first marathon finish line. And like I said, it's given me so much. So I started coaching about a year after that accident. And that accident was actually my rebirth day. So
wow.
It ended up being a really good thing.
And you've run, what, something like 95, 96 marathons since then, right?
Yeah, I think I was maybe at about 4. I'd have to check my spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I was probably at like 40 or 45 by then.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you said you were
in,
you thought you said you were at 4 or 5 by then. So, no, okay. So you'd
no.
run, Yeah, but obviously you've run something like 55, 60 marathons since then.
Yeah, and an Ironman and a 100-miler, and what a gift.
Yeah.
And the difference now with my running now compared to then is I probably race about 25% of my races, and the rest is helping other people, and same with my runs. Probably 25% of my runs are for me, and the rest is to help other people, whether it's I'm helping somebody go from walking a mile to running their first mile, or this weekend I'm helping someone run their first 100-miler.
Wow. So it's not about just you anymore. It's about you're sharing.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And that's obviously a huge part of your journey. That's so impressive. Now, have you favorites from among the many marathons that you've run? Are there ones that you would recommend?
Yes. Well, of course, Chicago's my favorite because I never thought I could do one. And then it's just given me so much. And then I have a couple other favorites that I feel like everyone should run. Of course, Boston, there's nothing. I tell everyone you can never recreate your first marathon until you run your first Boston. There's just something so special about each of those. And then the other favorite I have is the Antarctica Marathon. It's truly the most beautiful place I've been in the world so far. And the second most beautiful, I would have to say, is Reykjavik, Iceland.
Okay, so those are...
I love both of them.
Yeah, two extremes of the planet, north and south, right? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Big Sur is up there, too.
Okay. And are there marathons that you've never done that you wish you could do someday?
I'd love to do the North Pole Marathon. It's just not in my budget.
Okay. I didn't even know there was a North Pole Marathon.
Yes, there is. I did the Antarctica Marathon for my 40th birthday, and I thought it would be really cool to then do the North Pole for my 50th, but yeah, not yet. I it's not in the financial cards yet.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, running is the best way to see another city in another country.
It is a great way to see another place.
Yeah.
And I see that you've also done all of the World Marathon Majors, right?
Yes.
So tell me,
on my second round. In March, I'll be running Tokyo again. So I'll finish, that will be my second loop of the Abbott World Marathon Majors. So I'll run a dozen.
Okay, wow. So what do you tell other people who are, for example, training for their first marathon, who are just starting out? What is it you tell them about the journey they're about to be on?
Well, I have like two approaches for someone who hasn't even signed up yet, that they can do it too. And it's not like gym class running at all. And I tell them to think about other things they've done in their life that they didn't think they could do, but they wanted so bad in all their heart, and they did it, and draw on that commitment and fight from the other experiences they have in their life, and that's what you'll call on with the marathon. And I tell everyone, it's just like taking a class. You get a syllabus, you do your homework, the race day is the final. You can get an A like the elite, you can get a D, and you're still a marathoner. And that anytime we do something we don't think we can do, it transforms us. And for me, I felt like what that first one did is it ignited something within me that had already been there. And then it led to other firsts that I didn't think I can do. It's going to be exciting, scary, and exciting, but that finish line will be so worth it on the other end.
It is life-changing, and you describe it so well, Denise. Congratulations on all you've done, and good luck as you continue on your next 100 marathons. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks again, Mark.
That's Denise Soriol of Chicago. Coming up next, a former MP qualifies again for the Boston Marathon. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Welcome back to iRun Radio. Heck Cloutier is a former member of parliament who is now an avid marathoner. I see him regularly at running events. Heck recently completed the Hamilton Marathon, the Road to Hope Marathon, in a Boston qualifying time. Heck, it's great to talk to you again. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It always is, Mark, speaking with a fellow marathon runner.
Yes. Yeah, so tell me what it is that you love so much about this, because whenever I run into you, you are always brimming with enthusiasm about your latest run or what you have planned next. Why do you love running so much?
Well, you know, I guess maybe it has something to do with me being involved in a bit in public life. I run by myself, Mark, and I like the solitude. I like getting out and running the roads or running the trails just by myself. It gives me an hour, 2 hours a day. And once you start training for marathons, and then you jump it up to 3 or 4 hours. But I guess I just like the solitude of it. When I run in the races, as you know, when we do that, there are thousands or hundreds or thousands of people involved. But I just like the solitude, the peacefulness of it. And the great thing about running is all you need is a pair of running shoes and away you go.
Absolutely.
Where you are.
Yeah, and we've talked before about some of the interesting places that you've run, and we're going to talk in a moment about your latest marathon in Hamilton. But before we do that, just tell me how your running has been going lately and what you were doing leading up to Hamilton.
Well, to be perfectly candid, the last 2 or 3 years I've been a bit hit by injuries. And you know, as we get older, my goodness gracious, injuries tend to jump up and bite you. But so the running hasn't been real great. I've been running marathons and half marathons, but this summer everything seemed to come together and my training was going along very well. So I entered the half marathon, the Army half marathon in Ottawa, and I said to myself, if I pull out of that okay and run a good time, I'll consider running in Hamilton to try and qualify one more time for Boston. And the Army half marathon was my fastest half marathon in 3 years, but more importantly, I did it in a negative split, so I felt really good about it, and the next day I felt great, so I entered Hamilton, and away we went.
All right, so let's go through that race. How did the Hamilton Marathon go for you last weekend?
Well, for my age category, now I'm in my 70th year. So I had to go 4:20. Up until 2 weeks ago, it was 4:25. So the Boston Athletic Association threw a bit of a curve at not only me, but everyone else.
Yeah.
I guess so many people, Mark, are qualifying for the Boston Marathon worldwide that they reduced the time by 5 minutes. So instead of 4:25, I had to go 4:20. So I decided to go with the 4:15 bunny and try and stick with him or her religiously and hope that if I got across the line 4 or 5 minutes or 3 minutes ahead of the qualifying time, I would have a good chance from this over 70 category to qualify. And that's what I did. It was a great day for the run. The only problem was at the 30-kilometer mark, as you know, that's when it gets really tough. My bunny crashed on me.
Oh,
not only me and the other people just stopped. Just said, I'm out of here, I can't do it. But I knew that he was having some problems because at the halfway mark, at the first half marathon, he just dropped a sign. And he put his bunny ears in his back of his pants, his shorts. And I thought, oh, that's a little bit strange. But at the 30-kilometer mark, well, there were only two of us left running with him anyway. And he just took a look and said, that's it, I'm done. So the last 12 kilometers...
You were on your own.
I was on my own. But it worked out. I guess my training had paid off, and I had done a lot of hill training, and I'd done some sprints. And so it worked out, and I qualified for it, and I actually made the qualifying time by 6 minutes and 25 seconds. So I guess I'm home free in that regard, qualifying for Boston 2020.
So you made the new qualifying time by 6 minutes plus.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you're in good shape. You're going back to Boston, Heck. Well, how many times will this be for you?
How many? This will be my sixth one, Mark.
Good for you.
I ran it at 55, 60, 65, And my goal was to run it at 70. So now I've qualified to run it at 70, but I've ran it at 59 and 64. I think you and I ran it the same year in 2015.
We did. Yeah.
And so anyway, the qualifying time, to be perfectly candid, gets easier as you get older, but there's a reason for it. You're getting older.
Exactly. Exactly. And how many marathons in total is this for you now?
This was my 36th marathon, and for any of your listening audience, you don't have to start running marathons at an early age. I never ran my first marathon until I was 51. So people out there, don't give up on running a marathon. I never ran my first one until 51, and now I've run 36 in the last 18 years.
Wow. So about 2 a year. That's not a crazy number, but still, those are all in your 50s and 60s, right?
Yes, and then numerous half marathons and a couple around the bays, 30-kilometer runs. But, as you know only too well, the marathon is basically the cherry on top of the cake. It's the training that gets you. If you can do the training, anyone, Mark, can run a marathon. Now, we're not in the same league as the Kenyans and Ethiopians and the Mark Sutcliffes of the world, because all you do is you just keep on getting faster and faster. But
not anymore.
But anyone, I don't know. I was speaking with your buddy Bob, and he said he lets you run 15 kilometers first thing in the morning before he even hooks up with you. But as I've said to people, anyone can run a marathon or a half marathon if you have the time to do the training and if your body holds together. Because the more kilometers you pile on, the more chance you have of injuries, knees, hips, back, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you obviously are defying the aging process. Heck, you're doing great, and you're still running strong as you approach 70 years of age. If you look back on all the marathons you've done, the 36 marathons you've done now, what are some of your favorites?
Well, obviously Boston. It's the Holy Grail. If you can run Boston, I mean, that's it. That's the epitome of marathon running. But Ottawa Marathon does not have to take a back seat to any. The Ottawa Marathon, I really, really enjoy the Ottawa Marathon. I've ran all over the world, in Europe, New Zealand, Canada, the United States. But the Ottawa Marathon is spectacular. You know, Parliament Hill over to the Quebec side. There's some nice long straightaways. No, the Ottawa Marathon is right up there with my favorites. But, I mean, if you wanted to say which one have you really had the biggest sense of accomplishment, it certainly would be the Boston Marathon.
All right. And what about the Hamilton Marathon? How did that stack up? Did you like the experience? Beyond the fact that you had a good race, did you like the marathon?
Well, you know, the marathon layout was fine. We started up, we were bussed from the finish up to the start on the Niagara Escarpment. So we ran about 20 kilometers up in the Niagara Escarpment, and there's some rolling hills up there. But practically all the time you could look down on the city of Hamilton and out onto Lake Ontario, and you could actually see Toronto in the distance. And then at the 21-kilometer mark, there was a long downhill hill, not steep, but just long. So that kind of got you the opportunity to refresh yourself, although you've got to be very careful going down a hill after you've already run half a marathon, because, first of all, you know there's going to be another hill coming, but you don't want to go too fast and pop a hamstring or something. And the interesting thing about the Hamilton Marathon, and that's why I knew the pace money was starting to lag, we were at the half in 2:08:58, I was. So once again, I did a negative split, my first negative split ever in 36 marathons. So I went to the half in 2:08:58, and I came to back half in 2:04:27.
Good for you.
So, I mean, I was probably more pleased about that than anything else, because I have never run a negative split. Mm. Usually I go out hard and try and hold on at the end, as most marathon runners do, and they're gasping near the end, but my fastest 10 kilometers were the last 10 kilometers.
Good for you. That's a sign of your fitness right there.
Well, I really trained. As I said, Mark, this year, this summer, I was injury-free, and when you're 69 and you're 70th year, and if it gets tougher all the time, but the injuries jump at you, but I was injury-free, so I did a lot more training, and I guess at the end of the day, it paid off. And furthermore, it was a great day. It was minus two when we started, but it was bright and sunny, so there were no problems with the weather whatsoever.
That's good running weather. So what's next for you, Heck?
Well, you know, right now I'm deer hunting, so the next day I was chasing deer all day. But I'll keep on running. I was on the stationary bike this morning, so I'll start back running in about another couple of days. And I don't know, I'll run the Ottawa either full or half marathon in the spring because I like it so much. I'll run the Army half marathon again, maybe a fall marathon next year, and then Boston in 2020.
Right,
but I'll keep running. I mean, as I've said, Merrick, and I'm sure you agree with me and other runners, they don't have to be marathon runners. They can be half marathon. They can be 10 kilometer, 5 kilometer. Running is great for your body, even better for your soul.
Very true.
It is really runners. I've met so many runners. They have a positive outlook on life. They're in better shape physically, emotionally. And it's a proven fact that runners, especially the longer distance runners, have less incidence of heart attacks, cancer, stress-related problems. I just can't say enough about it. And it costs nothing. It really costs nothing. It's just a pair of running shoes, and you can run in downtown in cities, or you can run out in the wilderness.
Right on. Well, Heck, it is always great to hear your stories and to hear your enthusiasm, your passion for running. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations again on your Boston qualifying run in Hamilton.
Thank you very much, Mark. I really appreciate it. And keep running, my friend.
That is former Member of Parliament Heck Cloutier. Coming up, another story from the New York City Marathon. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Linda Bordelot is a lawyer and a passionate marathon runner from Ottawa. She also happens to be married to Ottawa's chief of police, Charles Bordelot. And so when she ran the New York City Marathon, she got to witness how first responders are treated at that event. Linda, thank you for joining us again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So how was New York?
Fabulous. I mean, that's the second time I've run it. I ran it the same year as you in 2014. So
that's
this
right.
is a great opportunity to come back and run an amazing city.
Yeah, and that really is so much of the experience, isn't it? You're running New York City. You're going through the five boroughs. You're seeing the crowds. You're seeing the neighborhoods. I think that's most of the appeal, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It was a beautiful day, so I really lucked out on, you know, pure sunshine. It was about 13 degrees Celsius. So it was just, you know, a great experience being able to actually enjoy this time, because having run it before, I was a little bit more nervous. This time, I really wanted to soak it in, and that's what I tried to do.
So for those people who haven't run New York, how would you describe it? What is it that appeals to you? Why did you want to go back?
I think it's just, you know, so iconic in terms of running the bridges, starting on Staten Island, and just, you know, you're waiting with a group of people for hours, but there's something sort of special about that. And then when you get, you know, onto the start line and you hear the Frank Sinatra, New York, New York, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing like the crowds. It was truly fantastic.
Now, the crowds this year, how did they compare to last time? Because I think when we ran it in 2014, it was a cold day, it was a windy day, and the crowds were fantastic anyway. But I can imagine on a relatively nice fall day that they would be even better.
Oh, it was like overwhelming. Like just the numbers, and you know, and even at you know the point in the race where you're coming into Central Park, I think it's Central Park West, and that's when you're really getting closer to the crowd because they seem to be coming into you more. It was a great experience, and I was running with wearing my Big Sur marathon shirt because I had run that in the spring, and I hit a spot in the race where you know, I actually started to walk, just wasn't feeling the greatest, had to shake it off. And these two young guys who were pretty close to me start yelling, "You ran, Big Sur. This is nothing like that. Get going." And I did. This was like, absolutely. So the crowd is so engaged with you. And that really is truly something I haven't experienced before.
That's amazing. I mean, they always talk about New York Yankees fans and other sports fans in New York being knowledgeable sports fans. And here's knowledgeable running spectators, right? That they know what your background is based on your shirt. They know about that race. They know how to spur you on.
Yeah. And actually the crowd just is so into it. And I think, I mean, most crowds are in marathons, but there's just something special about the crowds in New York. So just the you know, the spirit and just the encouragement along the way.
And I know you, as you mentioned, you've run Big Sur and you've run Chicago. I know that, and you've run some of the other big ones. Are you working on a list? Are you ticking off boxes as you go of some of the big marathons that you want to do?
New York was my 12th marathon. I'm back to Chicago in 2019. I think I just want to experience the, you know, the energy of the big races. That's what really draws me in. There's nothing like that. And I walk away, whether I do, you know, as well as I had wanted to, or, you know, or better, it doesn't matter. It's just being part of a crowd of, you know, 50,000 people. There's really nothing like that. And it's so addictive. And I think that's, for me, that's what keeps me running these big races.
I'm fascinated by that because I feel that too. If you say to me, what's the Chicago Marathon like? It's that, or what's the New York City Marathon like? I'm going to describe it in those terms. What comes to mind immediately is that the final stretch of one of those races and the roar of the crowd and the volume rising and the sense you have that you're almost finished and all of that, that's the energy, the buzz that you're looking for that, you know, you don't get on a training run, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the smaller races are fantastic in terms of their own support and the ability to maybe run a faster race, but I guess that's not what I'm looking for. I'm inspired by the crowds and the iconic nature of some of those races. So I would go back again, and I would do Chicago even every year if I could get in the lottery successfully.
Yeah. And so you've been applying to a lot of lotteries recently, right? Because I think you actually got accepted to Chicago this year, but because you were in New York as well, you put it off. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So a bit of lottery luck to get into New York, but not so in terms of London. That's definitely one that I'd love to run.
Okay. So you've been applying to London and getting the bad news every year.
That's right. For like about 10 years.
Wow.
But this one final comment, though, on New York, I have to say, this is the first year where we actually experienced the largesse of the New York Police Department. The NYPD was amazing. And as you know, like, my husband's the chief, and we ended up meeting the commissioner, Commissioner O'Neill, at a major city chiefs conference just this past October. And I had mentioned I was running the race. He was so excited. You know, when you come to the city, let us know. And actually, we did that, and he had an officer sort of get my husband to the actual finish line. And the first person that I saw when I crossed the New York City Marathon finish line was my husband.
Wow.
And that was unbelievable. And actually, so that just, you know, made it so special. And just experiencing, you know, what they do for their New York police officers. If an officer runs that marathon, there's a special heated tent for them right by the finish line that they get to, you know, sort of recover in. Firefighters as well, any emergency service personnel that runs that race, they really are provided with special treatment. And that really resonated with me. Like, I was able to go in that tent. I felt like I didn't deserve that. But it really made me feel how you know, how impressive that was, how New York really embraces their emergency responders. So that was a great sort of a different vibe that I had this year than what I did in 2014.
That's interesting. And, you know, you have this sense that New York really does put those first responders first and put them top of mind. But to see it in a tangible way like that is really powerful.
It was very impressive.
Yeah.
I think it's something that, you know, every race should follow.
Yeah. But you got a little of the VIP treatment then. You've got...
a little VIP treatment, absolutely. So I was quite happy to avoid the... I got one thing about New York is, as you know, you're walking through a chute for nearly, you know, 3 miles or 5 kilometers to get your poncho and exit Central Park. And that's pretty tough for a middle-of-the-pack runner like me. So yes, I was able to avoid that this year.
Yeah, good for you. I remember that. I remember the first year I did New York, which was 2006, I checked a bag, and I haven't done that since. But I checked a bag, and I remember I was they had UPS trucks that were the responsible for the bag check system, and mine was truck number 93, and I walked for what felt like 15 or 20 minutes, and then I saw truck number 1, and I thought, oh my God, I have to walk past another 92 trucks before I get to my truck to get my bag, and then I can exit the park. And then, of course, and all of that time, you're walking north, and my hotel was just south of the finish line. So I was walking away from my hotel. But look, you understand, when they've got 50,000 runners crossing the finish line, they have to spread it all out, and they have to manage those logistics. You get it, but it's part of the experience for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess the other thing about New York that I'm just so impressed with is that, you know, that finish line stays open until that last runner crosses. And I mean, that is so moving.
Yeah, there's so many aspects of it. And you know that there are so many people who are running that event for really important reasons, raising money, overcoming illness. There's some really powerful stories that are often shared before and after the marathon as well, and you get to soak up some of that as part of the experience too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So do you have a sense of what's next for you? Is there another marathon in the future beyond Chicago?
I think I'll focus on Chicago, you know, in Thanksgiving weekend 2019. But I have a number of half marathons that I'm doing, and I'm actually running Bermuda for the first time in January.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's always been on my list because they have like a Bermuda Triangle challenge. So you do like a 1 mile, one like a Friday night. You do a 10K, and then you can either run the half or the full on the Sunday. So we're actually traveling to Bermuda in January, and we'll see how that goes. I think it's a bit hilly, but it should be fun.
Well, it sounds like a good place to be in January.
Exactly.
For sure. All right, Linda, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
That's Linda Bordalo of Ottawa. Coming up next week on iRun Radio, a Toronto dentist approaches an astonishing milestone, running every single day for 40 years. And we'll tell you about the recent Frankfurt Marathon in Germany. I hope you can be with us for the next edition of iRun Radio. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.